Our next speaker, of course, is exceptionally well known too. We have our North Antrim MP, Ian Paisley, with us, and Ian is coming to speak on the National Crime Agency. Ian, come on.
Thank you. Conference, thank you very much for that very warm welcome. Are you glad you've been at this conference in 2014?
Yes!
Hasn't this been a good conference?
Yes!
Is your soul stirred?
Yes!
Is your tummy rumbling for one of Sammy's buns?
Yes,
yes, it's been a very, very good conference, and I think certainly a round of applause and certainly congratulations to our staff who have laid this conference on should be made. At the very outset of my remarks, could I first of all thank Peter for his very kind and loving tribute that he paid this morning to my father. For a moment, you could pause and think that we are entering uncharted and uncertain waters. You could think for a moment that, well, we're now entering a period of time when the dock is no longer with us as a party, when we will be facing our first election without the big man on the campaign trail, that we will be in a period of without him there, it will be a void. And of course, I personally feel that void, and I know every one of you feel that void. We do miss him. We miss him already. We miss his company. We miss his crack. We miss his conquering spirit. But he would say today, the best has yet to be. And the best will be because this party is going forward on the right footing because we're standing up for Northern Ireland as never before. I believe we are building on a legacy that he has left, and through our leadership, with our party officers, with our team, with our member of the European Parliament, our MPs, our MLAs and our councillors and our super councillors, we're taking this country forward. Our DNA in the DUP is very much that legacy, and I know that each and every one of us believe in that. He taught me three things about politics. He taught me, first of all, have a purpose. Conference, do we have a purpose? We certainly do. It is our country. Conference, he taught me something else. He said, believe in a cause. Do we believe in a cause?
Yes.
We've been given a cause today to believe in. And he said, remember to serve the people. Service ever, surrender never. As been said, we are on the doorstep of a national election when the public will hold us all to account and when we will, I believe, be able to face the electorate and look them in the eye and tell them that we have worked for them, that we have provided that service, that we have been that party that they can depend on, that they can trust and that they can believe in. And as it has already been predicted today, the next government will be a coalition government, in my view, and unlike the current administration, it may be made up of more than two parties. The predicted growth of the SNP in Scotland certainly could dent Labour's ability to govern. The Liberals are in line to be scythed in half, and UKIP could have more than a handful of members of Parliament. The fact is, the next government of the United Kingdom could be determined by a handful of Ulster men and Ulster women. That is our destiny. Following on from what Sam has just told us, that is the opportunity. That is the promised land for this party. And we should be seizing it with both hands. If we thought for one moment that nothing was really at stake at this next election, the stake could not be higher. And therefore, we must enter this next election with the pride, the determination, the skill, and the desire to win. 100 years ago, Irish Unionists played a national role in shaping and securing the nation at a point of crisis. A small band of MPs had a dynamic and dramatic input on this land. 200 years ago, a backbencher called William Wilberforce changed the mind of Parliament. Virtually single-handedly, he changed the mind of a nation and he changed the direction of civilization itself. What can this party not now do? What can we not do if we have the determination, the leadership, the love, the purpose, the cause burning within us to take this country forward and to drive our policies home, not only locally, but to ensure that nationally we get the best deal also? We have that challenge, and I believe this party is up to it. I believe we should all have that dream that was laid out to us today by Peter and by our other team, that dream that as a nation, this party can play a singular and important role on being an influence for good, not only locally, but nationally. We can have an influence on policy nationally. We can have an influence on policy and the direction of policy. And therefore, the next year for this party will be crucial. There shall be no lesser motivation for us to win on the 7th of May. Now, there are uncharted waters ahead of us. We do look at the current crime situation in our country. There was a report this week in the press that the dissident Republicans make on average about £32 million a year because of their crime empire. When we look at that, that gives them a huge resource. But look at the resource we have. We have our people. We have our country. We have that purpose. We have that pride. We have that cause. What can we now not do with that? When we look around and we see that we have a national crime agency that cannot operate in this part of the United Kingdom because of obstinacy, because of treachery, I can't believe that the SDLP want to be associated with an effort to protect fuel fraudsters, paedophiles, cyber criminals from being properly tracked down and taken to book. I can't believe that that's what they want to do. Yet for some obscure or silly reason that the National Crime Agency is called national, they seem to be opposed to implementing that agency. I say we can no longer stand by and allow the government not to implement the crime agency working properly in Northern Ireland. And we call on the government to do that. And I'm glad the Shadow Secretary of State is here. If his party is in government next year, we'll be calling on your party to put them in operation here also. We need the National Crime Agency in place and we need that support. We've seen and we've witnessed over the last couple of years a terrible national crime. People seem to turn a blind eye to it. William McRae, just this week in Parliament, made a very clear statement to the Prime Minister. Why is no one convicted or arrested or taken to book for fuel crime? Well, we know why. Because there's been a deliberate attempt to let those criminals off the hook. Last year, Arlene Foster and me met separately with a gentleman who confirmed to us that he worked in the Department of Transport, that he had been told from 1998 onwards to roll back and to pull back from border patrols and from the highway patrols in terms of dipping and bringing cars and vehicles in for testing of laundered fuel. He went on to say that he received those instructions from the highest authority not to interfere with certain transport activities because they were involved in smuggling activities and there was greater things at play. Our Select Affairs Committee in London, of which David Simpson and myself sit on, when we examined these issues, it was made very clear to us in an in-camera investigation with a member of HMRC, they told us two things. That the A1 from Newry to Belfast had become a smuggler's highway and that as a result of that, they were not allowed any longer to stop vehicles along that road. Why were they not allowed to do that? He said that this chap from the HMRC said that he asked his boss one day, could he switch a duty rota with him? And he did it. And he stopped a vehicle on a Saturday afternoon. the man who he stopped called the officer by his first name and told him that he shouldn't have been on duty that day. It wasn't his day to be on duty. Clearly, the inference, the allegation, is that there are people at the top turning a blind eye to that crime. Little wonder there's no one being arrested. Ladies and gentlemen, fuel crime is the crime of the century in Northern Ireland. A Coopers Lybrand report last year showed that the Republic Revenue Authorities lost €600 million. €600 million. In the last 10 years, over £1 billion have been evaded in tax because of fuel laundering in Northern Ireland. Is the government going to allow that to continue to happen? Is the next government going to allow that to continue to happen? If this party has any ability, any shape in determining the policy and direction of the next national government, that has to be stopped and stopped for good. Those criminals have to be put out of business. You drive out of this conference today and stop for fuel, you have a 1 in 2 chance of buying unwittingly illegally laundered fuel, sold in ordinary petrol stations. Sometimes even the petrol supplier doesn't know that they're supplying laundered fuel. The government tell us they have a new marker in place. Here's the news. It doesn't work. Doesn't work. It's already been proved it doesn't work. There's letters to the Select Committee from the Treasury Office saying, don't tell anyone. It doesn't work. It's vulnerable. The government has a duty to step up and to improve the situation, and they know how to do it. And we encourage them, indeed we demand of them, that they do it and that they do it now. Conference, there's no doubt about it that we do face huge problems of child exploitation, of trafficking of people, of other criminal activity, including the laundering and smuggling, not just of fuel, but of other products. And without a national crime agency there to help us seize those assets, to put those people out of business, gangsters will be able to run amok in the soft underbelly of the United Kingdom, which unfortunately has become Northern Ireland. We say to the next government, put the criminals out of business before they put us out of business. Thank you, conference.